Hello everyone. Welcome to Gospel in the Air, a 30-minute devotional program that will inspire and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. May I invite you to join me in this short devotional meditation. May you be enlightened with spiritual insights as the Holy Spirit reveals His passion for humankind to be saved. That is, that no one should perish, but all will come to repentance. But before we begin our devotion, let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your abounding grace and mercy. What a privilege to share your gospel. I pray, dear Father, to convict those who have a chance to listen to this program today, to be enlightened about the truth of the gospel message regarding your love for them to be saved. Speak right into their hearts, and may they find and experience your peace in Jesus Christ, your Son. I ask this in His name. Amen. Our devotional reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. And our devotional meditation is entitled, God Calls Joseph for a Mission. At an early age, at 17, Joseph was despised by his very own brothers, and they felt so bad for this because he was the favorite son of Jacob. In Genesis 37:3-4, we can read that they hated him so much, and they cannot even speak kind word to him. As any parents like me, we can fully understand well the situation and even identify ourselves with this unfortunate experience they had in the family. I could just imagine what kind of home they had when they had kept in their hearts a very deep feeling of grudge and bitterness against their very own brother. And how about Joseph, who felt being betrayed, hated, and ostracized by everyone? We can just surmise how Joseph grew up with this kind of environment in the family. I know how hard it would be for anyone like him to undergo such an unpleasant experience. Of course, we know too well that it happens sometimes with our children to have misunderstandings among themselves. But after that, they come again into agreement and become friends, and as if nothing happens. But for the case of Joseph, this is something very different because later on, as we can see, there is more to it. Such a deep feeling of hatred, distrust, and betrayal against him by his very own brothers that ended up into an attempt for his life, had it not for the timely intervention of their eldest brother, Reuben. Instead of killing him, they stripped him naked of his beautiful robe of many colors, which their father Jacob had given him, and later on sold him to the Midianite merchants. For them, Joseph is already done. Already they considered him dead, and they conspired to lie to their father to make him believe that truly he was killed by a wild beast. This is what hatred can do to anyone who nurtures a very deep feeling of grudge, envy, and bitterness against anyone, especially among members of the family. Darkness will cloud the recesses of a good disposition and calmness of the heart, and instead, it produces the venom of human pride by cursing and destroying only to regret it later on, but the damage has already been done. Only God can heal a broken relationship. And this is where we can see the unfolding of Joseph's life, how he dealt with bitterness and dark past with his brothers. In chapter 50, verses 15 to 21, This story is one of the greatest challenges or temptations Joseph has ever faced in his life. That is, the opportunity to get even with his brothers, an opportunity to take revenge against his brothers who caused many of his misfortunes and miseries in life at an early age. It could have been so easy for him to do the same, because he has all the power to do it now. He has all the arsenals and ammunition at his disposal, and he's second of the day because he is now sitting as the governor of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth during that time, second only to Pharaoh. No wonder why his brothers were so terrified of him. The Bible says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" But Joseph's response was so different. It was very uplifting and encouraging when he said to them, "Fear not, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Today, I want to share with you some spiritual insights that will help your daily walk with the Lord. The first is that Joseph's strong foundation in the Lord at an early age. His father Jacob was the source of his strength in God Almighty. By implication, we can see the very strong influence of the parent, especially the father, in the family. Their home was some sort of a greenhouse that nurtured and brought out the best in Joseph's faith. The home was considered as an anvil that formed and shaped his faith in the Lord. No wonder why at an early age of 17, he was able to pass triumphantly all those challenges and temptations that any individual of his age can hardly overcome. Otherwise, there could have been no way that he could ever escape those alluring temptations when there was an opportunity to take advantage over Potiphar's wife, and most especially when he became the governor of Egypt. Joseph found his greatest strength when he was almost down, facing flat on the ground, with his fear in the Lord. He feared God first and foremost, and never did he compromise his faith in the God of Jacob, his father. As a result of that active faith, he found solace with God, fully protected and secured all the way until he was finally promoted and exalted above anyone else in his age. Indeed, the word of God is ever true, that the fear of him is the beginning of wisdom. And that wisdom saved him and brought him to where he is now. This kind of fear is not fear from ghosts, fear from economic recession, fear from terrorism, fear from natural calamity, fear from civil war, and the list goes on. This kind of fear is the holy fear of the Lord, the holy fear of committing sin, the holy fear of eternal damnation, the holy fear of going to hell. Proverbs 8:13 emphatically emphasizes that the fear of the Lord is to fear evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the froward mouth. There is nothing more to it to test and prove our relationship to God than our fear of committing sin. While it is true that God is very loving, eternally gracious and forgiving, it does not necessarily mean that we can just continue sinning and use as a license our freedom in Jesus Christ. The grace of God is not a cheap grace, but a very costly one, which caused the life of his son to be dragged from the mud of crucifixion on that ugly hill called Golgotha. And the word of God warns us, if we do not fear God, but deliberately keep on sinning. It says that after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Hebrews 10:26-27. Furthermore, if one does not fear God and takes sin for granted, the word of God warns us again of the impending judgment that awaits such individual. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what is the will of God? His will is to fear him, and that is from committing sin. This is the reason why Joseph was blessed by God, because he feared him. The fear of the Lord is the real foundation of a true and lasting relationship with the Almighty God. We should be reminded of Joseph if we want to live a life of blessing, secured, grounded, and settled under the mighty hands of an Almighty God. The second is that Joseph is very forgiving. According to the Bible, there were times that he cried for his brothers for knowing their miserable condition. In one instance, there was a time that Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. In another occasion, there was a time too that he could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out. He said, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. In another instance, we can see how mindful to the needs of his brothers. In Genesis 50:21, the Bible says, don't be afraid, I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. Joseph did not plant bitterness in his heart. He did not dig up the past and took vengeance against them. Instead, all the more that he humbled himself and extended his loving arms for reconciliation. He took the initiative to make the first move to extend his hands for reconciliation, though he was the aggrieved party in this case. In other words, Joseph was so forgiving to his enemies, his genuine heart of a godly man. Why did Joseph able to overcome the situation, despite an ugly past with his brothers? In fact, he has all the right to complain against them and to get even with them. But he chose not to lodge his case against his very own flesh and blood. Why is this so? The answer is found in his right relationship with God. He knows too well that God is in control of everything, even his dark and ugly past. He knows too well that everything was done for a reason and not for any chance. He knows that God has a reason and purpose for everything that went through his life. And he trusted God that he is a sovereign Lord who controls even the future of humankind. What a genuine faith this Joseph had. For Joseph, past is already past, and that is already a finished matter to him. There should not be any reason to dig the past and be reminded again of its ugly shape and color. For Joseph, whatever happened in the past should be buried to eternal oblivion. Instead, he wanted to move on by putting a date to everything he wanted to accomplish and to face his present situation with a strong determination to accomplish more for the glory of God. For Joseph, digging the past does not solve the problem. It will only be a waste of time, and anything wasted now will be wasted for all eternity. What a godly character of Joseph to emulate. Indeed, no wonder why he was chosen by God for a very special mission to accomplish. This is one of the qualities that we look forward to any leader to possess, whether in the secular or religious vocation, especially among Christians who are called for a mission. Can you identify yourself with Joseph in this instant case as a forgiving individual? Do you still keep in your heart a personal grudge against anyone who caused you so much pain and misery in the past? If Joseph had done that kind of act, who supposedly had all the power and authority to get even with his brothers, considering his position as the man in authority, second only to Pharaoh, then who are we not to forgive to our enemies? Who are we to act and judge like God in this matter? As Christians, we should be reminded of Romans 12:19-21, which say, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The third and final is that Joseph understood well his calling. In chapter 45, verses 5 and 7 say, "It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And then in chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." It takes a matured mind and a highly evolved Christian principle to be in the shoes of Joseph. If you know exactly and fully understand your calling, then you will always stand on a solid ground and you will never be moved no matter what. Joseph understood this well. That is why he was able to overcome and hurdle the final challenge of his life when he became the governor of Egypt. He realized that everything was God's plan for him to be in that position, although it was not that very good from the very beginning. Hence, he has nothing to brag about or cause him to get even with his brothers. When he realized God's plan for him, all the more that he humbled himself, instead he committed his life to him. He never took advantage of his position and played the role of God. Rather, he continued to fulfill and finish his mission because at the end it was God whom he was serving. In application, when God gives you his blessing, his permission, and full authority for a special calling, probably as an employer, or an employee, or as a student, or as a housewife, or a servant of his church, and many more, you will surely be secured because God has put you there for a reason. Once you understand why he has called you for that purpose, then you will become confident and fulfilled and learn even to love more your work. You will cherish it and value so dearly and even willing to die for it, like what the apostles and the early Christians did in defending their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you identify yourself with Joseph, who was called by God for a very special mission because he was trusted on three things? They are, first, he feared God. Second, he was very forgiving against his enemies. And third, he understood well his calling. We have more than Joseph as our deliverer, and his name is Jesus Christ. His love is manifested even more because he came on his own, leaving away his glorious throne in heaven, and he became a lowly servant and humbly served humanity. They stripped him naked by taking out his robe and gambled it while he was there hanging on the cross. He gave his life on that old rugged cross just for us to be free from eternal damnation. He delivered us from the bondage of sin and gave us the opportunity to be called the sons and daughters of God. My friend, this is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is offering you another chance for your salvation. Why don't you come to him and make him your Lord and Savior while there is a time and a chance to make such a decision right now? This is yours if only you accept his offer of grace. While there is still a chance to make up your life today, I want to tell you that today is a day of your salvation if you are willing wholeheartedly to receive him. If you have already received the Lord and you have not yet immersed in water or baptized in his name, then you need to, my friends, because he has commanded us to that. The Bible is very clear that we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 22:16, and that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38, and then become a part of his body with each the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13. My friend, this is what God requires us to do. We need to be baptized or immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and that after baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And whether we like it or not, the moment we are baptized, we become a member of his body, which is his church. My friend, today is the day of your salvation. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the message today. May you continue to bless people and bring them to your fold. Father God, I pray to continuously bless this radio program, that you will use it as your instrument, as your voice in this darkened world. This I pray in the most precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. It is my prayer that you've been blessed today. Tune into this program, Gospel in the Air, every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning. Gospel in the Air is a radio devotional ministry of Cornerstone Christian Church. If you want to know more about our lesson today, visit our website at www.cornerstonemaui.org. Or you can also call us or send your text message to this number, 463-8859. This is your host, Brother Danny Marantanbanco, saying, keep punching the good fight of faith. Mahalo.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I that's drawing near. When this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow. I will rise on you.